Welcome to Marketing Musicology with your host, Dr. David Allen.
Today we're talking to Dr. Daniel Levitin. He's the author of the number one bestseller, This Is Your Brain on Music, which was published in 19 languages and spent more than a year on the New York Times bestseller list. He has a BA in cognitive psychology and cognitive science at Stanford and a PhD in psychology from the University of Oregon. He has taught at Stanford and is currently the James McGill Professor of Psychology, Behavioral Neuroscience, and Music at McGill University in Montreal, Quebec. So let's talk a little bit about the foundation of what I do. So your brain on music, how do you think, in looking at it, you know, since 2006, how do you think it's facilitated so music and marketing and bands and brands?
You know, I don't have a good picture of it other than what people happen to tell me in passing. So I know that My Brightest Diamond, for example, based a song cycle on it, and Gautier Mixed, someone I used to know, based on some principles that he and his mixing engineer had read in the book. I hear about these things, and I meet musicians who say that they absorb some information from it that influenced their writing or their performing. But mostly what I feel that it did for musicians is it elevated them to a higher stature than they themselves realized. And let me unpack that for a minute. Many of the great musicians I know, I mean, like the top session players and, you know, not the Elton Johns of the world, but the people playing in Elton John's band, right? I mean, that level of musicianship, they kind of feel like what they do, although they're rewarded for it, they feel like it's not particularly intellectual or particularly difficult because they've been doing it so long and it came naturally to them. And in reading about how complex the chain of events is in the brain that leads to playing an instrument or listening to music, and being able to put terms on it and processes, I think they're filled with a deeper sense of pride in what they do, and they feel less like just journeymen, just tradesmen.
You know, you know how this is when you're trying to publish research, and I don't get a lot of love when I'm trying to combine art and commerce. And I deal a lot when music and advertising or music and retail. But it seems like the artists that you've worked with sort of appreciate the fact that this is another platform for them to get their art exposed to. Do you find that with the artists you're dealing with?
What's the other platform?
Advertising or retail or, you know, another way to expose their music in a commercial campaign or that kind of stuff. Because, you know, in your book, pretty early, you were like, it exposed, you know, emotions in advertising that might not have been there if there wasn't for the music.
Have different views about this, and some of them feel that they want to remain pure and they're happy to sell their work, but they don't want it to be exploited to sell an unrelated product. Neil Young famously said this with his album, This Note's For You, and to my knowledge, he's never licensed one of his songs for an ad, but other artists who I like just as much do license their music for ads. And what I'm finding in the last 20 years is that it's increasingly difficult for songwriters to make a living. The income stream that came from having record sales or CD sales has dropped by by a factor of 1,000. And so to have a company reach out and want to put your music in an ad or in a TV show, that's a great thing. in that it allows them to make enough of a living, and in many cases they're not getting rich, but it allows them to be able to make a decent living and pay for childcare so that they can spend some time each week writing new material. I think that songwriting should be a profession, and I think we need to figure out as a society that we value songwriters as much as we value programmers and brick masons and doctors and teachers. Well, we don't value teachers very much, but we ought to make it so that a person can make a living doing it.
I so appreciate it. So I have one of my two books is This Note's for You. And so Neil Young is near and dear to my heart. And Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young had one of their songs licensed to an underwear commercial, which he wasn't that happy about. But
and Stills just tried to deal with Levi's.
And Levi's is a big musical brand, so I appreciate that more than
I don't think Stills has any doesn't feel precious about it the way that Neil does. I think Stills knows that he wrote his songs from a very personal place, and he's confident in that. And at this point, he's put out fewer records than Neil. He's got less of an income stream. He's still supporting two growing kids and another five kids who were no longer children. But, I think it gets back to this idea of can an artist make a living or not? And if selling an ad is going to help you to put a kid through college, I'm all for it. The trick is to not sell your products to somebody who's doing something you find abhorrent or unethical, right? So I don't think Stills would have sold it to Monsanto.
Right.
Or I don't think he would have sold it to the Ukrainians or the Russians.
Right.
Or to a Republican.
Definitely not. Yeah, that's an interesting thing that goes around. And back to Sting. I mean, Sting sort of facilitated my dissertation where I was trying to figure out, how it is. You're trying to figure out a stream. You're in the whole PhD process, and he came out with his song in Mitsubishi and Desert Rose, and that I locked onto that, and that was my thing. I put it in my book, and you actually looked at his brain. So how did that happen?
After This Is Your Brain on Music came out, I had this just wonderful experience that I still have, that people read the book and then they find me and they get in touch with me, and it's a gift that never stops giving. People that I didn't know, but who I admire and who have been musical heroes, just sort of find me and we meet, and in many cases I get to play music with them and get to talk about the process of creation, and it's been fantastic. And this is the way I met Sting. He was coming to Montreal on tour with the Police for the reunion tour. And he had read This Is Your Brain on Music, and he had somebody from his office call my office and wondered if he could drop by the lab and see what was going on. And I said, sure, I'll give you a little tour. And while you're here, if you want, I can arrange for a brain scan if you're curious. And so that's how it happened.
Wow. How cool is that? I mean, I think that most people have used that as some foundation for what they do or trying to figure out how they do it. And it's got to be very rewarding to you that happened that way. I'm sure you had good vibes when you were writing the book, but you never would have thought that it would have inspired so many people.
Oh, David, I didn't think that it would reach more than 300 or 400 people. And neither did the publisher. I mean, the publisher was going to consider it an extraordinary success if it sold 2,500 copies. And we were really just expecting a fifth of that. So it's been gratifying. When I wrote it, I guess I had good vibes, but I didn't have any expectations. I kind of wrote it for myself. I wrote the book I wanted to read.
Well, that worked out pretty good. So let's talk about what's going on now that you like and think is good. So you probably are aware that MasterCard is doing sort of a sonic branding identity now, and many sort of brands are doing that, trying to fill in for sound that's not already there or trying to give sound to what is there. Where do you think the current state of sort of music, you know, marketing and musicology is these days?
I'm not a particularly good observer of that. I don't watch commercial television and I don't listen to commercial radio. So I'm not hearing the kinds of ads that, where else would you hear ads? Are there places that they'd be played that I'm not aware of? I don't seem to encounter them very often.
What about the Super Bowl? What did you think about music in the Super Bowl? Budweiser ad, Bob Dylan.
Yeah, that's sure. Sorry to disappoint you, but that's commercial television again.
So no, you didn't watch the Super Bowl?
No, I'm not much of a sports fan. I couldn't even tell you who was playing.
Patriots won.
Great, I guess. Good for them.
What about music artists you're working with? These you must have probably. I was in radio and I have a few gold records, but it sounds like you have more than me. What artists are you fans of these days or working with these days?
Well, I'm a fan of Regina Spektor, Tom Brosseau, The Bird and the Bee. And those are artists that and Kimya Dawson. Those are artists who I've discovered within the last 10 years and who I just can't get enough of. And then some of the old standbys. I gobble up everything that Rodney Crowell and Roseanne Cash put out. And I never, ever get tired of listening to Steely Dan. I stayed up way too late last night watching footage from their show in London last night. Yeah. And in terms of artists I'm working with, speaking of Steely Dan, I'm producing an album of my own songs right now. Yeah. And I had two different Steely Dan members perform on it. Yeah. As well, Elliot Randall, who people know as doing the solo in David Bowie's Fame and in Steely Dan's Reelin' in the Years. And then Roger Rosenberg, who's currently on tour with Steely Dan as the baritone sax player, played a solo on one of my tunes. I've also got Victor Wooten on bass on one of the tunes, and that's been terrific.
And people listening to this podcast, how would they get involved in this project? Is there a way for them to support it, to invest in it?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. There's a Kickstarter. I don't know when you're going to broadcast this. There's a Kickstarter campaign that's going to go till the first week of March. And then after that, I'm going to try and reassign the URL if I can to a page where people can order the music and hear it. But right now, the Kickstarter is at tinyurl.com/Levitin, that's LEVITIN dash music.
Nice.
And then afterwards, I think daniellevitin.com will be the place to go.
Well, I would encourage everyone listening to this podcast to invest because
thank you.
This is the real deal here, you're hearing, and he's facilitated so many things. So I thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today, and we wish you good luck in the future.
You've been listening to Marketing Musicology with Dr. David Allen.